Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You put a DMX song, I'm just going to let it go the entire time. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. The great Brian Westbrook joins us momentarily. Oh, you're telling him that he's calling right there. Yeah, well, we had, you know, yesterday we were supposed to have LeSean McCoy on at 3:30, and we weren't able to get him. And I was wondering if this particular time on this day was cursed for former Eagles running backs. But as it turns out, it is not. It looks like we're going to get some weather on Sunday, by the way. There's a decent chance of some precipitation and snow and rain and wind. So I wonder, you know, that certainly plays into the Eagles' hands, you know, as a running and defense team. The Rams, you know, two great wide receivers and a great quarterback. But if it is snowy and windy and rainy, I will take the team that runs and plays great defense over the other team.
Yes, sir. Yeah. And we're accustomed to planning this.
Right, right.
So, I mean, although I'm not one of those ones that believe that teams, when it's cold, they all of a sudden can't play football anymore. Like, I don't necessarily, maybe for some, like, I guess maybe for the Dolphins, sure.
Right, where it's 85 degrees all the time. Yeah,
but for the most part, I'm like, are you on the air?
No, he said the Bucks.
Yeah. Well, the Bucks. Well, no. Yeah, the Bucks, that was a shot at me.
Yes, it was.
Yes. Yes. See, that's actually the reason why I don't buy into it as much anymore.
It's because of that
damn game.
Yep.
We talked about that so much. Below 40 degrees before.
Yeah. Never won.
Yeah, exactly.
And here he is. We're lucky enough to be joined by the great Brian Westbrook. B. West, how you doing, man?
Good afternoon, fellas. How's it going?
What's up, B? Now, we lost that game to the Bucks, but B. West wasn't B. West at that time. That was your rookie year, right, B?
That was my rookie year. And I just remember the last play of that game, really for the game for us anyway, was when Rondé got that interception. And I'm on the sideline watching him run down the sideline. The vet was completely silent. It took everything in me not to jump off of that sideline and just go tackle him. I mean, that's how I felt at that time. That hurt me.
Well, you would have gotten it would be a penalty. I mean, right?
Yeah, it would have stopped the touchdown.
It would have stopped
though.
Touchdown for sure. Yeah. It's funny, B. West. I worked in New York for a few years and worked with Tiki Barber pretty closely. And he looked at me. He's like, I know they don't like me in Philly, but they hate my brother much more than they hate me. And it's like that is for sure. So, B. West, I know it's sort of old news by this point, but we haven't talked to you about it, and I wanted to hear your thoughts on it, on the whole. And I remember seeing your tweet during the Giants game about Saquon Barkley and going for the record. I've been wondering if you were in that specific situation, and that specific situation happened to you. Like, how would you have processed all of that?
Well, I would have wanted to go for the record, just the same way that I believe Saquon wanted to go for the record. You certainly live your entire life not to break records, but to do well, right? And this is kind of the pinnacle for a running back, to be able to break Eric Dickerson's record that has basically stood for 40 years. That's kind of the top of the class for the running back. That's something that you go down in history for. And so you had an opportunity, a really good opportunity. It's not like you were playing one of the best rush defenses in the league. The Giants had literally nothing to play for. And the other part, you know, and this would have been selfish, but I don't even look at it selfish. This is payback. This is just how it works. I want to do it against a team that said I wasn't good enough. The team that didn't want me there, that would have made it even sweeter. And so it wouldn't have been any doubt in my mind. I would have went to Coach Sirianni and not asked, but I would have demanded that that I play in this game because that's how special it is. And not only to Saquon, everyone knows it's special to the offensive line, the wide receivers, the quarterback. It's special to everyone. Kellen Moore is special to him as he tries to get a head coaching job as well. And so, you know, I think it's one of those things that we missed the moment for Saquon. He's been having a great season, and I think that would have been able to kind of push it over the edge just a little bit. Now, the Super Bowl, of course, that matters. But I think you could have achieved both of those things without breaking a sweat.
How good did it feel for you, man, to watch the resurgence of the running back position this year? Not just Saquon. You look what King Henry did down in Baltimore. Hell, Joe Mixon, Josh Jacobs. Like, all these guys changed teams and got their teams to the postseason. Had to feel good for you as a former running back when everybody's trying to basically – make the position extinct as if it doesn't matter as much anymore.
You know, you're right. So many people are trying to say it doesn't matter who you plug in there. Mm-hmm. That guy is just as good as the next guy. It doesn't matter, right? You know, it could be Saquon. It could be this guy or that guy, some third-round pick. And what has been proven this season, and really over the last few years here, is that's just not true. And we see the difference between Miles Sanders and Saquon. We see the difference between DeAndre Swift and Saquon. Mm-hmm. And both of those guys were really, really good. But Saquon takes it to a different level. And you see the same thing out in Detroit, same thing obviously down in Baltimore. So many quality running backs in this league are now saying, we want to be a much bigger part of the offense. And I think there's a reason there. I really believe there's a couple of reasons. The defenses are now, they're playing nickel and dime almost all the time. So now you have to run up those fronts to get them out of that defense. But you also have to think about, look at what some of these young quarterbacks are doing. Are we saying that we're going to get a bunch of Patrick Mahomes and a bunch of Drew Brees, Peyton Manning, you know, that era of quarterback that can carry a football team? I don't know that that's what's coming out of college in that way. Mm-hmm. Now we're talking about the RPOs. We're talking about quarterbacks that can't carry a team in the same type of way. You need a running game to be able to support that. And now you have guys like Saquon step in and just do you know, what he's done all season long. It's been amazing to watch. And as a former running back, I'm just continuing to root for these guys. They should get paid more. They should get the ball more. They should be more involved in the offense. And if they do that, they certainly the pay will go up as well.
The great Brian Westbrook joining us right now. So where do you, this year's team, where do you think the Eagles stand in the hierarchy of most likely to win the Super Bowl? Who would you put ahead of them this year, if anyone?
Well, they're the most complete team in the NFL. There's no doubt about it. Offense, defense, a special team. They're the most complete team in the NFL. But we all understand that in this league, the quarterbacks are the king, right? When you have that Patrick Mahomes behind center, that changes the game. Josh Allen changes the game. Lamar Jackson changes the game. And so you certainly have to look at all those things. You know, for me, the only team that I would put in front of us would be Kansas City, just because they're two-time defending champions and they have that guy at that position, mm-hmm. at that quarterback position in Patrick Mahomes. But other than that, we can play with Detroit. We can play with the Rams. We can play with everyone else in the NFC East. And I think we can play with everybody else in the AFC. It'll be a great game. It'll be a competitive game. But I think our defense travels. I think our run games travel. And I think that Jalen will play good enough managing the football game to play to our defense, to play to our run game for us to win. I appreciate what has happened here from the coaching staff down to every player on that football team. What has happened in the locker room, what has happened this season, because it is a stark and drastic change from what we saw last year at the end of the season. We're seeing the team come together. We're seeing the team that can laugh and joke about A.J. Brown reading the book. I mean, just imagine, we're laughing and joking because he's reading the book. We win by 12 points. That's great, right? That's mm-hmm. a great time. We're not having the same conversations as we were a year ago. And so that means this team has gotten better. And I think a lot of credit certainly goes to Nick Sirianni. and the things that he's been able to implement and do for this football team.
I think one of the things about Sirianni and maybe why he doesn't get the credit nationally is because he's not a play caller, and his job on offense or defense, and his job is a little more vague and culture oriented than people can put there that can, you know, just touch and see. Can you tell me how important the head coach is in setting the culture for a football team?
Well, in any business, the head coach is the CEO of this football team. So in any business, you're truly only as good as your culture and as your leader is going to be. And so Nick Sirianni's job as the culture setter, the guy that people, that rallies the troop, that brings everyone together, that's just as important as the guy that's throwing the football or the guy that's tackling the football. Now, you also got to understand Mike Tomlin, he's not calling defensive plays.
Mm-hmm.
John Harbaugh is not calling offense, defense, or special teams plays. Mm-hmm. There's a bunch of coaches around the league that do not call plays on both the offense or defense, but they coach the coaches. They make sure that the coaches make sure that the players are in the right position at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
Andy Reid does it to a certain extent. He's not calling plays like he used to back in the day. And so there's a bunch of coaches that do it. I know that's something that a lot of people have picked up with Nick Sirianni. And what does he really do? If he's not doing this and not doing that, what does he really do? Well, he's coaching the coaches. He's the CEO. You don't see the CEO of Amazon delivering packages. That's not his job. His job is to set the standard. And now that the standard is set, now his team has to go out there and live up to that standard. Now, when the standard is not met, that's when the CEO steps in and say, hey, listen, this is not how we deliver our packages at Amazon. This is not how we are culturally for our football team. Nick Sirianni has done a very good job of that this season.
Yeah, it sounds like the family got a lot of Christmas gifts this holiday season. A lot of Amazon packages delivered to your house.
My wife apparently has someone on the inside of Amazon this season.
Dude.
They just keep coming every single day.
Dude, you talk to any guy who has a wife.
Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah, I'm the same way. I'm like, yeah, it sounds like a lot of Amazon packages done been delivered.
The number of times
I need to talk to the CEO of Amazon right
yeah.
now. That's the guy that I need to talk to.
The number of times in my house I'll passive-aggressively say, hey, you got something from Amazon.
Right.
It's like 14 times a week,
yeah.
You know?
Hey, B, let me ask you this about Jalen. How, when you look at Jalen, right, going into the playoffs, we know how the season ended and everything. What's your confidence level that playing at the level he's playing at can get us to the Super Bowl and win a Super Bowl? Or do you feel like there needs to be more done? Are you okay with how he's being used? How do you see the quarterback position sort of having its impact on the offense?
Well, I think he needs to play better. There's no doubt about it. He needs to play better. But I do make a point that he's winning. And the expectation from Jalen Hurts is not the same as the expectation from Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes is going to throw the ball 30 times every single game. Jalen Hurts not. He's going to throw the ball in the high teens, maybe the low 20s. That's what he's asked to do for this offense. He's not asked to lead this team on a 12-play drive, throwing the football 11 times. That's not what they ask him to do. And so many times, and I'm guilty of it myself, of saying I want him to be more like this and want him to be more like that. I want him to be able to control the offense more with his arm and not so much just his legs and handing the ball off. But that's not how this team is built. Maybe last year is a little bit different. Maybe a couple years in the future it may be different. But this year's team is not built that way. This year's team is you play to your defense, you hand the ball off, and when you have a shot, you take the shot down the field. That's how this team is built. And so I want Jalen to be more accurate in some of his passes, in some of the passes that he missed last week. And I think that will come just with more practice and more reps. But I don't know that Jalen Hurts will ever be Patrick Mahomes. But is he good enough to win us a Super Bowl based on the defense that we have, based on the dominant run game that we have, based on our ability to win in the trenches? There's no doubt about it in my mind. He has the ability to do that. I certainly want him to be a little bit more efficient passing the ball, though.
Brian Westbrook with us. So I get the sense you think the Eagles are going to win the game on Sunday, but just I guess your outlook for how this game goes, Eagles and Rams on Sunday.
Well, it starts on the defense for me. We saw turnovers created on the defense last week. Now, offensively, we didn't do as much with them. And some of it, again, starts with the rust and things like that. But I expect our defense to continue to create turnovers. This week, offensively, we're going to run the ball well. I think Jalen does get in a bit of a rhythm this week. The Rams are probably going to try to force him to throw the ball. I think he gets in a little bit of a rhythm. And we, as an offense, now we can find ways to score points when we get the ball back. I think this game looks a lot different, and I think our confidence in Jalen looks a little bit different after this week. Because if you're the Rams, you have to say, we have to find a way to stop the run. We put up over, 245 yards, 230 yards last time we played them. They're going to have to be forced to stop the run. Now Jalen's going to have to play much better, and I think he steps up this week. And so, of course, I believe that our team wins. We're playing at home. I think even though the Rams have played very well over the last quarter of the season, I think it's now time for our team to continue to step up, and I think they do that in a big way this weekend.
My guy. Wonder why when I say this is the best running back in Eagles history, he may not be the all-time leading rusher, and I love Shady, but the all-time leading rusher doesn't have the postseason moments that Brian Westbrook has, and that's where your true greatness shows up in the postseason. This man was our offense when we got to the postseason, and he shouldered that load in that frame. So I'm hoping for one of these type of runs from Saquon, B-West, to get us to the Super Bowl, man, because that's the type of talent that's over there.
Saquon is so talented. I watch him every week, and I'm saying, okay, there has to be a weakness in this game somewhere. There has to be something that he's just not really good at. And here's the weakness in his game. He's just a nice guy. He's too doggone nice. The real weakness in his game. He's too doggone nice. He's too unselfish. Believe me, Ike, if we're up by whatever, they were up by 12 last week, yep, I would have scored that touchdown. I'm going to take the knee and die. I would have scored that doggone touchdown last week. But listen, Saquon is special. I love the way he continues to carry this offense, and he does it with a smile on his face, and everyone around him absolutely loves him. I'm super excited for this football team.
All right, B-West. Well, we really appreciate your time, man, and good luck with all those Amazon boxes.
Appreciate it, brother.
All right, take care, guys.
All right, B-West. I have one thing to say about something that B-West said. After, yeah. I'm going to tell you about Colonial, but right after Colonial Hyundai, I'm going to tell you about B-West. So, great news for Colonial Hyundai of Downingtown. If you were driving by Colonial in Downingtown there, you would see that for a while there, they've been working on the new showroom, and they were operating out of a temporary one next door, but the new showroom is finally complete. John Ashdale, the team at Colonial, they've been working hard to make sure that it is right for you, and it is right. It is a state-of-the-art dealership. It's going to make the process faster, easier, and better for you. It is easy, effortless to buy, trade, or upgrade at Colonial Hyundai. They're going to give you the most for your trade-in in the entire region. John's going to give you $6,500 for your trade, no matter what condition it's in. Over 200 vehicles in stock, all the Hyundais you even think about. Tucson, Santa Fe's, Palisades, Kona's. And for a limited time, you can drive home a new Hyundai Elantra SEL Sport for just $119 a month. All of them going to come with a 3-year complimentary maintenance plan and America's best warranty, a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and Hyundai assurance. Online 24/7 at ColonialHyundai.com. Colonial Hyundai, the faster, easier, better way to buy a Hyundai. See dealer for full details. Now, this isn't what B-West was saying when he said it, but it triggered something in my head because he said, Jalen just wins, right? Mm-hmm. He wins the games.
You hear that, you're triggered.
Well, I'm triggered because
beyond triggered.
I was listening to Elliot, and I want to be clear. This isn't what Brian Westbrook was saying, but the way he said it made me think of it because I was listening to Go Birds Daily, and Elliot said that he believes, I was listening this morning, wins are a quarterback stat. Here's my problem with that, and it finally clicked for me. If wins are a quarterback stat, then so are losses, right? So if you're going to tell me that Jalen just won on Sunday, even though he didn't play well, and they win, so he gets credit, then if he plays really well and they lose, then he didn't do enough, right? Like, if I have to hear on Sunday that he did enough to win, then when I want to think about the Super Bowl that we lost, he didn't do enough to win, and he has to own that loss too. So if they go up against the Rams and they lose 38-35, and Jalen throws for 337 and 3 touchdowns and runs for a touchdown, he didn't do enough to win because they didn't win. And that's the problem with he just wins, because he just wins only works one way. There's no way that he just wins people. people are going to tell me that he didn't play well enough to win if they lose in a shootout and he has great stats. This only goes one way. It only goes when the quarterback throws for 108 yards mm-hmm. and throws 18 times and they won and they say he just wins. He did enough to win. It's got to go both ways. If you played well enough to win, even if you played bad, then you didn't play well enough to win, even if you played good. So if there's a shootout and it's 41-38 and Jalen's stats are great, I don't care. That's a loss. And that I wouldn't do that. And that's why I don't buy into quarterback wins, because I'm not going to be silly enough to come in here on Monday and tell you that if Jalen lights up the scoreboard and the defense craps the bed,
yeah.
and that it's Jalen's fault. So if you see what I'm saying, that's the problem with it. And
I don't do. I'm not a quarterback.
Yeah, you're not
guy
a quarterback wing
yeah.
guy. But yeah. but
well, except when it fits your narrative.
I am not a quarterback. now I am a he just wins guy.
Right.
That's different than having that stat as
yes,
a quarterback win.
I agree with you. And there is something to the fact that the team wins when he's
right.
quarterback. But if you're going to use
the Troy Aikman effect,
yeah. If you're going to use that, if you're going to use wins as a stat and say, well, I don't care what his stats are, they won. Then I don't care what his stats are when they lose. And imagine how insane that would sound to me. I'm just trying to communicate to the people who say the quarterback win. Right. Imagine this is how you sound to me when he has a bad game and they won, and that's another notch on his belt. It sounds as insane to me as it would sound to you if I came in here on a Monday and he lit it up and I said, didn't do enough to win, needed to throw for 5 touchdowns instead of 4. That's why I think quarterback wins are a bogus stat. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. We love Mark's Jewelers. Mark's Jewelers, it's engagement season. Visit the only jeweler with over 2,500 Google 5-star reviews, Mark's Jewelers, online at marks-jewelers.com. Where would you rank the Eagles among the remaining teams left in the playoffs as a chance to win the Super Bowl? 51% say they're first and second, 43% say third or fourth, and the rest say fifth or sixth or seventh or eighth. I would love to hear from somebody that thinks they're seventh or eighth. Boy, how disrespectful. I think Cowboy,
that's just a troll.
Yeah, Cowboy Jim is just sitting at home with his 18 different burner accounts voting seventh or eighth, you know? We still have a lot to go on the show. Coming up next, the great Mike Mayock joins us. Very interested to hear Mike's assessment of the passing game, as well as looking ahead to Sunday's game against the Rams. We'll talk to Mike next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.